Hi, welcome back to the Darien Heritage Trail Oral Histories. I'm here at the Museum of Darien with Ken Reese. Hi, Ken, how are you?
Just fine, thank you.
So, I know the fifth graders tour here as part of a field trip, but do you want to talk a little more about what the Museum of Darien does?
One time after, the week after one of those fifth, I'm going to take this, one of those fifth grade tours, I was walking the dogs, on 5 Mile River Road, and there was a woman out getting her mail, and she spotted me and identified me. She said, "Oh, I really would like to thank you." She said, "My son was so excited when he got back from that, when he got home from
really?
That. And he came in the house. He said, 'Mom, Mom, did you know there's history all around us?'" And I heard that, and I said, "Boy, that kid got it."
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
That's what we're all trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that for this little town, it's really got a rare amount of historical content still contained in it and still visible, if you know what you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
that so many others don't have. And if the day we lose that, you won't be able to tell when you're in Stanford or Norwalk or here or wherever, because it's just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of thing and that kind of feeling, if the community knows and feels that, it will make all the difference.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do here, one little convert at a time, one little bit of information at a time, because there's just so much of that kind of historical presence. And it creates what a historian acquaintance of mine refers to, I think quite correctly, as pride of place.
Yeah.
It makes you happy to be, or glad to be, or proud to be where you live, because not just because of the football team, but which may not have a good year next year, who knows? But anyway, this you can hang on to. It's something you can get your teeth into, because we do have so much.
100%.
Whether it's just buildings or houses or roads and streets. We've got various places and features, names all around us that go back, in some cases, to the 1600s.
Yeah, for sure.
People are always puzzled by the Goodwives River and what the Goodwives River does. Well, the Goodwives River started showing up on deeds in the late 1600s. When the settlers first got here in the 1640s, it had always been Pine Brook.
Okay.
There were two brooks through town. One was Stony Brook, and it's still Stony Brook.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was Pine Brook, and that became the Goodwives River. Nobody's quite sure why. But I think, do you know the term Goodwives and where that comes from?
I don't know where it came from, but I know of, like, Goodwives, the river.
Well, in this late 1600s, the 1600s, 1700s, there was not, the terms Mr. and Mrs. were not in use. They came through,
really?
basically from the French, from the, or, you know, Monsieur and Madame and mistress, actually, it's mistress and mister, basically. But it was good wife and good man.
Huh.
And a good wife, it was just a grown-up woman who was married and had a family, a household, whatever, and she would be good wife Lyons.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that they were having some problems with the indigenous peoples who were still around,
mm-hmm.
who naughty people continued to act like they owned the place, which of course they did, but never mind. And they would do things like, for example, whatever, if they had cattle or if they had anything like that, you water those in the stream.
Mm-hmm.
And the Goodwives are in there trying to do their washing, you know.
Oh.
So I think that as part of setting them straight was that they were told that this now belongs to the Goodwives. It's not yours, you know. And
mm-hmm.
put your clothes on, you know. I mean, you can't, you know, no, you can't do that here anymore. This is the Goodwives River, not yours, you know, because they did it. They drew water from it for household use. They, you know, did the washing, cool the butter, all of that kind of stuff in that stream, and I think it may have made them uncomfortable. It's the only thing I can think of that would have done to do it because nobody named Goodwife or Goodwives never owned the river or anything like that.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the line, that was pointed out as being their territory and their profitability. Anyway, but that goes back, as I say, to the roughly 1690, that term. And hence the shopping center and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, no, the fact that it's still in use today is pretty cool.
Yeah, but there's not a... If you Google the term Goodwives... Mm-hmm. There really isn't another one in New England. There isn't another one that I could find anywhere that name has crept into town, you know, town use at all.
Yeah.
So it really is unique. It is unique here. The Fitch. There's not much in the Fitch family around, but Fitch did the created the Fitch's Home for Soldiers. Are you aware of the Fitch's Home for Soldiers?
I've heard of it. I'm not sure where it is, though.
Where it was. The Noroten Heights Fire Department.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street from that, there was a housing development.
Yeah.
And there was one that had little houses that was done right after World War II for veterans coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was known as the Alan O'Neill Houses. I don't know whether the new one has that name too, but it was named the Allen-O'Neill
mm-hmm.
after two Darien boys who were killed at Pearl Harbor.
Oh my!
And one was in the Army Air Corps, I think, and the other was in the Navy. And they were the first casualties from here during World War II, so they named that housing development for them, and then that was taken away and. The new housing development put in there for the housing authority houses. But that whole area had been built during the Civil War in the 1860s mm-hmm. by Benjamin Fitch as a home and hospital for Connecticut soldiers and their orphans.
Oh, wow.
And right... At the end of the war and after the war, there was no real need for a soldier's home because essentially the wounded, injured and the ones in trouble went home and were cared for.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of orphans, and so that opened as an orphanage, and it was famous. They did a stupendous job. They had a woman from Vermont who came down and ran the orphanage and was the teacher and whatever. It became its own school district, the 5th district, and people started paying tuition to get their kids to go to there because it was the best school in town.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on until the mid-1870s, whereupon they began to get need for these old soldiers who hadn't recovered and hadn't, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And so from 1875 to, I think, late 1879, 1880, something like that, it was run by Benjamin Fitch and his board of his governors and whatever who did it as a mm-hmm. private institution for the state others. And then the state of Connecticut took it over as their veterans home and hospital. That was open until 1939. You know, Tilly Pond over there, just Tilly Park.
Yeah.
Do you know what that was?
I don't know what it used to be now.
I've got two magazines here. One is a New Yorker and one is a Life magazine that did features on it.
On Tilly Pond?
Well, on the Tilly Bird Farm.
Huh.
That was an internationally known exotic bird farm. And George, whatever his name was, Tilly,
mm-hmm.
they moved to Darien in the 1880s from Brooklyn. And the father was a top executive, I think, in the Adams Freight Company, which mm-hmm. was one of these, eventually became, I think, Railway Express or something.
Yeah.
And Adams Express it was. And their son George was not too strong, but he was absolutely in love with birds because he was kind of a shut-in and whatever. So they wanted to get him out in the fresh air and have some place where he could indulge his hobby and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time he grew up, he had become so expert, and he had begun buying and selling rare birds.
Huh.
And there are, in the old magazines, like the Old Town and Country magazines from the early part of the 20th century and whatever, there were always ads in there for Tilly's Bird Farm for, black swans and exotic water birds of all types and all manner of stuff. The pond,
mm-hmm.
I think they made the pond because that was, that was for the water birds.
Yeah.
And people would really amazed because when the train would stop at the Darien station, you'd look out and you'd see this thing over here, this all of these exotic birds. And he became very, very well known. And he started, he had his own line of bird food. He sold rare antique bird prints, Audubon prints, originals, and all this kind of stuff. He was the bird man, George Dudley Tilly. And the kids loved it. I mean, I remember some of the old timers here. The famous story was when the birds escaped,
mm-hmm.
He'd give them a nickel if they captured the bird and brought it back. So if you wanted an ice cream cone, you'd go nab a bird and go knock on the front door. Hand him a bird back and get a nickel, and you could go over to Lombardi's ice cream drugstore and get an ice cream cone. That was
the best way to do it.
Post corner pizza is now.
I guess, one last final question, and you kind of already touched on all this, but would you say the role of the Museum of Darien today is really to just spread this history, make people more aware of it?
Thank you for bringing me back to that. The role of the Museum of Darien and the Darien Historical Society still exists as a parent, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's the legal organization. But yes, the role here is to try to create pride of place,
mm-hmm.
by making people aware of history is kind of off-putting, but their heritage.
Yeah.
The heritage of the town, the heritage of the piece of land they live on,
mm-hmm.
the heritage of the street they walk down, the fact that all of this is got a long, long story,
mm-hmm.
and unless you're really got a problem, a lot of it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
The more they know, the more likely it is that they will see their town with
mm-hmm.
approving eyes and maybe even get interested and start doing things for town and for
100%.
And that really is our role.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me today. I really appreciate it.
Well,
it was nice.
Thank you for not just shutting me up.
Thank you for listening to this installment of the Darien Heritage Trail Oral Histories, and we hope to see you at some of our historic sites in town.